clinic versus physician's insurance.
May it please the Court, George Gallen for Plaintiff IHP. We start this appeal, I think, with two givens. One is that PIC Wisconsin is alleged, and properly so, to have behaved in bad faith toward the insured person under this policy, Dr. Mullen, by refusing in bad faith to settle within Dr. Mullen's coverage. And the second given in this case is that it was not only foreseeable, but essentially inevitable that in the Getz case, if it resulted in a verdict in excessive coverage, that excess was going to be paid by PIC's customer and policyholder, IHP. But Judge Gorman decided that the Supreme Court would not provide IHP a remedy for this $2.5 million worth of loss. And so the question on this appeal I would submit is this: whether the Supreme Court of Illinois would agree that an employer that buys liability insurance for its employee must also buy coverage for itself that it doesn't need and that it doesn't want in order to protect itself from the consequences of the insurer's bad faith toward the insured employee.
Why should a federal court sitting in diversity greatly expand Illinois law as you want us to do here?
It is not our doing.
Why would we certify this case, if anything, to the Illinois Supreme Court?
That's an option you have. It's not our doing that we're here, as you know. We filed this case in Illinois court. It was removed by PIC. And so we ourselves would be perfectly happy to be asking the Illinois courts to confront this issue of first impression, but we don't get that opportunity. But you have to ask, under these circumstances where the case is removed, you're not in the position, the Court of Appeals is not in the position of a district court looking around to see whether there is a decision from the Illinois Supreme Court on point, and if not, then let's affirm. You're in the position of the Illinois Supreme Court.
Well, we're predicting what the Illinois Supreme Court would do.
Correct.
And regardless of what we do here, the Illinois Supreme Court can say, you're all wet, we're going to go the other direction.
They may someday do that, regardless of what you do. But again, that's not our doing, Judge.
But this is, do you agree that what you're arguing for is a significant expansion of this duty to act in good faith?
I don't think it's an expansion.
You made the decision not to insure yourself.
We self-insured.
You self-insured, yes.
Right.
Not to pay a premium to some insurance company to cover you.
Correct.
And, I tend to agree, looking at this, that this company was, flirting around with bad faith here when they had offers to settle this case early on within the policy limits. They didn't do it. But Mullen is the insured. He's the one who can gripe about it, and he's been taken care of.
Well, he is griping about it, but remember that
I know he's got his reputation claims and all that stuff that waiting in the background here with this agreement that you have, but you are a separate entity and you didn't insure yourself, you paid the premiums, I assume, for months.
Yeah.
And this is an expansion of Illinois law, isn't it?
Well, what I regard it as is a issue of first impression under Illinois law in which somebody who has never come along as a plaintiff in Illinois or anywhere else that either party can discover, is asking what would the Illinois Supreme Court do when the financial consequences of the bad faith fall on the customer and policyholder who paid the premium? What would they do?
This clearly hasn't been addressed by the Illinois court. And, if we extend this doctrine, I'm worried about the consequences. What if we were in a situation where a doctor didn't want to settle but the hospital did? Would it be your position that if the insurance company obeyed the doctor's wishes, the insurance company should be subject to suit by the hospital?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would be doing, in fact, what they were entitled to do under the policy.
But wouldn't it create problems in cases where the doctor's interests aren't aligned with the employer's interests?
It would not create those problems, Judge Williams, because in that case we absolutely agree that the if there is a conflict, any conflict, then the doctor's wish is control. That's absolutely clear. We've said that from day one. What makes this case unique is that there was no conflict whatsoever. Both of them wanted to settle this case. Dr. Mullen was desperate to settle. IHP wanted it settled. And everybody knew that if the insurance company didn't do what Dr. Mullen wanted, it was us who was going to get stuck with the result. And we don't believe that you have to pay extra money to buy coverage that you don't need in order to get the insurer whom you have contracted with to behave under that policy in good faith. Why would anybody hold that? Why would there ever be a situation in which it was to be encouraged that you would behave in bad faith toward the insured, with the adverse consequences toward your insured, Dr. Mullen, simply because you knew that you could get your customer to eat the results of that bad faith?
Are law firms that are corporations, and they have malpractice insurance for their individual attorneys, they also have coverage for them, the corporate entity, don't they?
Many of them self-insure, and then they have excess coverage.
All right. If they make the decision to be self-insured, that's a weighing of the risks and a decision that you make that you'll save money on a premium because the risk is so small.
But you have to remember this, Judge Evans. If we had a situation in which we'd simply gotten stuck with a verdict that was in excess of coverage, if it was just an ordinary case, we knew, IHP knew, when it set up this clinic, it knew that if one of its doctors got sued, it knew that it would get sued. We admit that. It knew that if there was a verdict in excess of the doctor's coverage, that it would go down on respondeat superior and it would be liable. We knew that. We admit that. So if that is all that had happened in this case, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have any complaint. We wouldn't be complaining a bit that we had to pay it out of our self-insurance, because that is a business decision that we made. The business decision that we did not make was to count on the execution in bad faith of this policy that we bought for our employee. That is not something that we should have foreseen or had to foresee, and it's not something that we had to pay extra and buy coverage that, from a business point of view, we didn't think we needed in order to avoid. That is the fundamental result of what Judge Gorman held, that we must pay extra and buy coverage, which from a business point of view, we don't think we needed, and in fact, in this case, we wouldn't have needed had there been a settlement. But they say that we must buy this extra coverage and actually buy it from them in order to protect ourselves from bad faith from the company that we bought the policy from and paid it for. I don't believe for a minute that the Illinois Supreme Court would hold such a thing. It doesn't stand up in light of the objectives of Kramer and Haddock. We are in that situation absolutely dependent on the good faith of the person we bought the policy for, and we have no contractual remedy. And the consequences of it, the social consequences of it, if you want to evaluate those, are only to do what happened in this case, which is to encourage an insurance company like PIC, when it has a situation where it has the opportunity to settle somewhere close to the coverage limit, to say to itself, what the heck? Let's shoot the moon here. If we lose, we might have to pay a few extra bucks from what the plaintiff is demanding anyway. If we win, we come out. But if we lose, the real upside risk is assumed by our customer, the person who got our money. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense in justice. It doesn't make any sense in the behavior that you want to encourage. And it doesn't make any sense in the fundamental policies behind the bad faith cause of action. And it should not be tolerated. And the Illinois Supreme Court is unlikely to tolerate it, in our view. I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal, if I may.
Fine. Thank you, Mr. Counsel. Hicks?
Thank you, Your Honor. William McFisk on behalf of PIC Wisconsin. May it please the Court. Your Honor, I think this is a simple case. It's a case where IHP is clearly asking for a significant expansion of the duty of good faith in Illinois in a situation where the Illinois Supreme Court has shown no indication that it has any inclination to extend the duty in this way. Your Honor, assuming, as we have to for the purposes of this appeal, that PIC Wisconsin did act in bad faith towards its insured.
That's a pretty good assumption based on
We're only basing it at this point, Your Honor, on the record in the complaint, and I think we haven't had a chance to put forward our defense, but at this point we have to assume that they acted in bad faith toward Dr. Mullen. Dr. Mullen is the party who can enforce that action, not IHP. It's a simple case. The Illinois Supreme Court has not shown any inclination in other cases to move duties owed to one person and say, well, somebody else who's affected by that duty can enforce it. The Kirk case, I think, Your Honor, is an excellent example of that situation. In the Kirk case, which was not an insurance case, it was a bodily injury case, the court considered the question of whether someone who suffered serious bodily injury as a result of the breach of a duty to a third party, that is a patient in a hospital, could sue to enforce because the hospital had breached his duty. The court said no, the duty is owed to the patient only, not to third parties. In countless cases in the insurance context, the courts of Illinois have made it clear that duties owed to the insured are not owed to third parties. The Illinois Supreme Court has shown no inclination of expanding the duty in this case. And if you look at the bases on which Mr. Galland and IHP are trying to predicate this expanded duty, they just don't withstand scrutiny. Your Honor, essentially, IHP uses two bases for trying to expand this duty. The first is it says that there is a contractual duty of good faith which can support a tort of bad faith. And the second is that the policy gave PIC Wisconsin exclusive control over the settlement and defense of this case. If either of those two are not true, then there is not any likelihood the Supreme Court of Illinois would expand this duty. Well, first of all, with respect to the duty of good faith implied in contracts, the Kramer case made it clear that that duty is implied for purposes of construction only. It said, in fact, that to allow for tort actions for bad faith whenever a party breached a contract would transform contract actions into tort actions. And I think that was one of the bases of this court's decision in 1994 when it said that excess carriers were not likely to, that the Illinois Supreme Court was not likely to find that there was a direct duty to excess carriers. The duty of good faith in contracts is one of construction. There is no indication that other than with respect to the duty owed to the insured, with respect to the duty to settle, that they would ever find a duty of good faith that would support a tort duty. More importantly, Ron, I want to talk about the duty to settle.
Premium B for the hospital.
What would the additional premium be? Your Honor, the record doesn't show that, and I don't know what the additional premium would be. I assume what the additional premium was to pay for, Your Honor, was payment for covering IHP's vicarious liability for Dr. Mullen's conduct. And that is exactly what IHP is asking us to do now. They're saying that they didn't have control over the settlement process, and therefore they were dependent. The fact of the matter is, control over the settlement process was fully in IHP's hands. IHP had its vicarious liability that it needed to settle. It didn't need to settle Dr. Mullen's case in order to get out of its vicarious liability. There's no indication in the record that IHP couldn't have gone and tried to make a separate settlement with the plaintiff for whatever it could to get out of its vicarious liability. That vicarious liability, it says that that PIC Wisconsin should have paid up to its limits of its policy to protect Dr. Mullen, and in that case, IHP would have had to pay nothing. In other words, it's saying, you should have protected us from our vicarious liability. But that's precisely what coverage A of the policy offered it, and it chose not to do it. Given the fact that it chose not to do it, there's no reason that this court should expand the duty, and there's no reason to believe that, in fact, the Illinois Supreme Court would do so either. Your Honor, there are significant potential problems with this result as well. Mr. Gallen suggests, for instance, that if there was a duty owed both to the non-insured policyholder and to the policyholder, well, of course, the insured's interest would trump. But there's no principled basis on which to make that determination. In fact, there is a doctrine in which that would apply, and that's the doctrine of subrogation. If IHP were subrogated to Dr. Mullen's rights, he would stand in the shoes of Dr. Mullen. And in that case, his action would rise or fall on whether the duty was breached with Dr. Mullen. We would submit that the duty of the subrogation theory is more than adequate to take care of these situations where the insured, where somebody breaches a duty to the insured. In fact, I think that's what this court suggested in the case where it decided not to extend a duty to excess carriers, and it's what the First District decided when it said that there was no duty to excess carriers. In the cases where they have discussed the duty to excess carriers are normally subrogated to the rights of the insured. The subrogation doctrine is more than adequate to take care of this without creating the kind of problems that this would result in. Your Honor, at this point, it seems to us that there is no good reason for believing that the Illinois Supreme Court would expand the duty in this way, and for that reason, we believe that the decision of the district court should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dick. How much time? You have 1 minute, Mr. Gallen.
Just three quick points. Subrogation is not a substitute for our remedy here because a party who is vicariously liable cannot subrogate. That's simply the law. What Mr. McVisk is basically saying is that in a situation where Illinois law provides that it is the employee who ultimately can be made to bear the ultimate liability, the insurance company can negate that policy of Illinois law by doing what IHP did here. There is a doctrine of implied indemnity under which a principal can sue the employee in this situation and force the employee to bear the ultimate liability, and that can force the insurance company to bear the ultimate liability. And yet we are told that we must sit back and let them whipsaw us as our customer because we didn't buy coverage. This issue of buying coverage runs throughout Judge Gorman's opinion and runs throughout Pick's argument. This is not a question of buying coverage. Bad faith is never a question of getting the coverage that you paid for. Every bad faith verdict awards coverage in excess of what was paid for. Mr. McVisk says that in the Kirk case, the Supreme Court declined to imply a duty toward third parties. We are not a third party. We paid for this contract. We are the contracting party. And finally, when the Supreme Court, in the cases that Mr. McVisk has cited, has declined to expand the bad faith remedy, it did so for the simple reason that the plaintiff in that case had a remedy. In Kramer, it could sue for the benefits under the policy. In all of these cases, the remedial repertoire was adequate, as the Supreme Court said in one case. In this case, we are $2.5 million down, and there is nothing we can do about it if you don't provide the remedy predicting what the Supreme Court would do.
Thank you, Mr. Cal. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.